I bet. I was there a couple weeks ago. I saw Melissa last night at dinner. And,
yeah, my last go-around was Jack, with Jack. Who's a New York City kid like me, so I let him get going. A lot of fun.
The best time I had was with you guys.
That was your first?
No, I've been there a couple times, but that was super fun.
There, so I'm actually the backup host, so we will
probably
at some point
be yakking. I'd love that, but no, it was, you remember, in the middle of the Jefferson. Oh, my gosh.
You know, I created that show and hired Melissa. Did you know that?
Well, that...
See, there's history in this room.
I know.
I was on this morning discussing one end of this topic at this conference in Boise, Sarah, yesterday.
Where were you yesterday? Oh, Atlanta, yeah.
And so new that when you walked in the lobby, you could smell the paint.
Yeah. Wow.
Really nice place, but just odd to be there unless it was a major competitor. Much easier to come to.
Yeah.
Just neck of the woods.
This is what happens when you can't talk to each other. Yeah, totally notice a meeting. That's big news today at 11 about University of Florida coming. I guess we're going to. Since this, no, we can't, I guess, $50
million. Yeah.
Some of you folks were in a meeting, mid-meeting, and I think it was rather funny. You came out, and suddenly there's the entire rotunda full.
Well, we knew it was coming, but we didn't know the details.
Should have sold tickets.
They asked me about white glasses.
Sounds good to me. Coming.
Like it.
Yeah. President of his opera on. You want to sit here?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, everybody. How are y'all? Mr. Carlucci, sir. Again.
I got you guys sitting up here.
They're working hard today.
In the high class section. I see one more. Not coming in, but.
Yes, she is.
Come on up. Yes, come on down. You're the next contestant.
Bracy Jackson, how are you?
I am doing wonderfully. I remember.
We're on the same committee,
yeah,
and you are
I'm on
a
special one just by myself. Remember?
Are we a special committee,
no,
or are we just
I'm
a special
I'm
committee?
Special. I'm special. Yeah, special, yes.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, when I'm self to myself, kind of like the Spider-Man thing.
That's kind of funny.
Myself to myself, yes, absolutely, yes. He's coming. I don't know about where to start.
Shortly after you took over the morning shift.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. You won't remember who
you're asking me at my age to actually recognize people from
the
past.
I know, right? Yeah, I don't know.
Valerie.
Yeah, I can't see all that.
might just have to run a tape recorder. And I was invited to sit up here initially.
Oh, I know. I don't see. Oh, yeah. Now I see her. I didn't see her before. She's in.
The voice of the people.
Huh? Good afternoon. I am Councilmember Brenda Priestley Jackson, and we thank so many of you for coming to this member-to-member notice meeting with Councilmember Randy DeFore and I. We wanted to take the opportunity to kind of share our perspective in more or less a joint statement, and the only mechanism we had available to do this, to lift up the work of the Special Investigatory Committee that we served on, was to have a member-to-member notice meeting. So we were originally charged by then former Council President Scott Wilson on January 20th, 2020, with creating a special investigatory committee that we each served on. And the charge of that committee related to five factors. One, discussion of procedures and protocols. Two, an historic timeline of events. Three, review of existing records, resources, and materials from OGC, IG, JEA, and other sources. Conduct further investigations into matters related to the charge of the memo, and analyze matters through the powers invested in the legislative body, which is the City Council, that could prevent further actions of this type, in essence, the sale of our municipal utility, and issue a report on the same. It is very important for us to share that on or about December 2020, we concluded the work after meeting from February of 2020 until December of 2020. The result of that work in consultation and guidance with SHB, specifically attorneys Steve Busey, Chris Dix, Lanny Russell, and Kevin Blodgett, yielded a report from the Special Investigatory Committee of 131 pages and a chronology of 241 pages. We wanted to take this opportunity to say this work was completed and submitted to the then Council President, the late Tommy Azuri, in January of 2021. And more specifically, to articulate the legislative recommendations that came from that committee. Those recommendations related to the following. First, procurement. Require all material city procurement documents, including solicitations, notices of intent to award procurement contracts, be posted or publicly accessible. Limiting the outsourcing of procurement responsibilities. Clarifying the Jacksonville Code. Clarifying prohibited ex-party communications to avoid future arguments that City Council cannot have discussions, i.e. the cone of silence, about or legislate regarding procurement, prohibiting ex-party communications. The investigative authority that was recommended was the following. Future council investigatory committees and their independent counsel should have, as does the Office of Inspector General, unrestricted access to the records of the consolidated government, including records regarding monies paid to and services rendered by contractors, subcontractors, to any part of the consolidated government. Future council investigatory committees and their independent counsel should function wholly independent of the Office of General Counsel. C, the council should clarify the process by which a committee may subpoena documents and testimony from witnesses regarding the subject matter of any legislative investigation, including the penalties for noncompliance, and contact and coordination with the Office of Inspector General. It also made recommendations regarding compensation programs for our independent authorities and others, and ethics and transparency. Most of those recommendations resulted in the an amendment of Article 21, which relates to JEA, and our colleague here, Councilmember Boylan, helped us walk through those workshops, as well as it resulted in a charter amendment on how those individuals on the JEA board are appointed, now with four appointees being from the city council and three from the mayor's office. We want to particularly lift up that in our process, we as a committee at that time and as a council decided that we would have disclosures of potential conflicts released to the public, and we would all fill out one because we were requiring that same amount of disclosure from those individuals we brought before the Special Investigatory Committee. That was done for us to be able to legislate in relation to that, to be able to identify future or potential conflicts that may exist, because at the time that was uncharted territory and had not been done. We are grateful and comforted to share that 17 of our colleagues voluntarily submitted those disclosures, and I want to be of note to say 16 of the colleagues submitted them all within a matter of 10 days, one of another, and so we're thankful for that. It was important to us to say that we followed the recommendations of the that were proffered to us during that process. We concluded our process in January of 2021, and that worked for that SIC, which prohibited any future attempts to sell our municipal utility, held those individuals to account, was concluded. We also want to share that upon the conclusion of our report, other governmental entities, other bodies, took some of the information from that report, and there are now pending criminal investigations and other matters. We want to make certain that we share that our work was concluded, and we do nothing, and we take any acts that in any way interfere with any other entities, governmental entities, that are engaged in any other proceedings that are related to JEA.
Good afternoon. I'm Rainey DeFore. I served also on that committee. I just want to summarize what I find to be a little disconcerting. The authority of the City Council to investigate pursuant to Section 5 of the Charter is limited to the power to legislate, which we did. And the City Council does not possess the power to make inquiry into the private affairs of an individual. The power of the City Council ends where its jurisdiction ends, which is the ability to legislate. So thus, anything beyond the authority of the City Council to do anything other than that, simply put, is an abuse of power. And it does not properly reflect, nor should it be associated with, the good work done by the original SIC committee on the privatization of the JEA, which, as we all know, concluded 2 years ago. The work of the original committee, as Brenda stated, resulted in charter changes that our citizens voted on and passed. Again, the change of the charge of the new SIC committee, in my opinion, is inappropriate, is a huge slippery slope, and it can result in the misuse of taxpayer dollars and abuse of power. If there's any question as to a council person's behavior, this is not the right mechanism. There are other mechanisms. There's ethics, there's IG, there are other mechanisms, but this is not the appropriate mechanism to go after an individual. And that's really all I want to say. I'm happy to answer any questions, though.
We're happy to answer any questions you have, and we wanted to be really clear that we had a process that we followed from that was open and transparent from the time the SIC was constituted until the time we submitted our final report to then Council President Tommy Hazzouri. We stand by that work. We stand by the support of our council colleagues who supported us in that work. And it's particularly important to me that the integrity and the autonomy of the City Council is maintained, and the respect for that role to protect neighbors' interests, and that no other process is undertaken that undermines our credibility, our desire to protect our neighbors' interests, our desire to legislate and fund and to protect and ensure that we don't face a similar matter of our municipal utility or any other independent authority being for sale. So we thank you for coming to hear our comments today. And if you have any questions, we're happy to answer those at this time.
Share your thoughts on, I mean, do you feel like it is an ethical problem for Cumber not to disclose that information?
No, I don't. I think the appropriate response would have been to ask her why was it excluded. Because we not only had, you know, that issue, the council members, most 17 voluntarily complied. She was one of the 17. But we had two that did not submit one. So in my view, the proper thing was to ask her reasons and rationale for that. But again, that's beyond the scope of the charge that we had. And while we sought the information, we used it to include in a proposed, you know, amendments to Article 21. We used it in consultation to talk with the ethics office and to look at any other procurement, any other potential conflicts that were out there. That was our role and our responsibility, and we did that through legislation, and we did it through a charter amendment. And that was the scope of it. We were not engaged in a witch hunt with council members. And I want to be very clear about that. And so I was gratified and encouraged that our colleagues, many of them voluntarily complied. 17 did. And so this information has been out there and accessible for over 2 years. Over 2 years. So it begs the question, why now? And again, we don't want to do any, we stand by 131 pages. Thank you to SHB for guiding us through this work. I know more information about metadata and everything else that I never thought I would know. And thank you for this chronology of 231 pages. That was our intent. And so we should all go back to the recommendations and see which of those have been implemented and followed. This was our guidebook. Our goal was not to have this become another fanciful report, you know, provided by the city of Jacksonville that sits on a shelf and collects dust.
Is it all because of the mayor's race?
Let's see. I believe that there are political actions that are motivating, political motivators that are, they're acting. I don't have a crystal ball to say, and I can't go inside somebody else's head or mind to understand why, but I'm deeply troubled by it. I am deeply troubled, not only by the configuration of a new SIC that lacks any of the level of diversity that the original SIC had. Now, you can take for that what you will, one. And then also, you know, Council Member Diamond served with us well on the original SIC, and then he resigned. He resigned in September.
When we tried to subpoena Tim Baker, he resigned on that basis.
And so, again, a part of why we asked for disclosures, we were asking for this information from all of the witnesses we brought before us. We can't hold ourselves to a different standard.
You know, the truth of the matter is I don't think we have a very intelligent community, but the average person does not understand this is about the mayor's race, I don't think. Maybe they do. But what bothers me the most is it opens the gate. It sets a precedent. I mean, put the mayor's race aside. Seriously. Think about this. What if next year someone, a president of this council, has a beef with one of the other city councilmen? Are they going to open up a special committee to investigate them on some chumped-up charge and create some reason why that is allowed for legislative purposes? This is a very, very, in my opinion, scary precedent that we should all as a community be worried about. I mean, you see what happens at the federal level. So now that's going to happen at the local level? I know Matt wanted to speak.
You want to say something, Matt? Then I think David. Okay. Yeah.
Here's the question: but for the mayor's race, would this special investigative committee been assembled? I don't think so. That's the question. And what bothers me, I have no horse in the mayor's race. I'll eventually pick a candidate, but right now I have no candidate I'm supporting. But I do support fairness, and I support the institution of the city council and the giants who helped form this consolidated government in this city council and put our rules together. And I think that we have to be careful with such investigative authority that we're given by the charter. It's seldom used, but it's used when it's needed. My concern is the chair and the vice chair of this committee to meet called for this committee to be put together. They have direct ties to a mayoral campaign, and they've made bias comments. The credibility of the city council, I'm telling everybody here, that my father fought for and that I have fought to protect is at stake. And that's the only reason I'm here, because I feel like there's something more at stake here. But I go back to the question, but for the mayor's race, would this special investigative committee have been assembled? I don't think so. And so we find ourselves in a political crosshairs, and that's not where we should be.
And I want to lift up something Matt just said and shared. You know, my read of the charter and the Muni Code indicates that the only time council members can investigate each other is relative to qualifications. Qualifications in office. That's it. That's it. I don't see anywhere that we have any authority, any, to investigate each other, to investigate a matter clearly articulated with a charge, clearly stipulated what we're going to do. Yeah, certainly. But I see no authority in the charter that indicates we have the authority to investigate one another. And think about it, neighbors. That's the very nature of working in a collegial manner to legislate. Not to pit one against each other. And so this turns our very office on its head. It sows seeds of dissension, divisiveness. You know, we cannot have a focus and a unity together if we do that. And so, again, we wanted to share that we completed the work over 2 years ago, okay? We submitted the report, and then we have been working to implement those recommendations outside of the charter changes, outside of the Article 21, and looking at those other factors. That is what we were charged to do, and we did that. There's a section on investigations in this recommendations, investigative authority, but none of the four factors articulated, not a one says investigate colleagues on the city council or investigate any neighbors in the public. That's not our role.
House has had any interactions, which y'all defined as including meetings, disclose them. Just say when they happened, who they were with. So my question is, should Leanna Cumber, is that the kind of information that y'all were expecting council members in general to disclose? And should Leanna Cumber have disclosed that to the council special investigatory committee when y'all requested?
Yeah, that was the type of information we were seeking. And I will be very candid to say I already knew it. See, I think some of you forget that we were working on the SIC, so we had access to over 600,000 documents. So for me, it was, if you didn't exclude certain information or you excluded it, you now need to be given an opportunity since it's 2 years later. Why didn't you include it? Maybe she had a meritorious reason for excluding it. Maybe she did not. She should have been afforded that opportunity. And it has to be the same standard. So we don't know for those two colleagues who chose not to comply. We don't know what potential conflicts exist there, so it has to be the same standard for the one. So if you're going to question one who disclosed but left information out, then I think the next logical step becomes to question those who deemed it not, they didn't feel they had to comply or respond. But again, this is 2 years later. This is not new information.
And I'd just add, if that's okay, that, again, our authority only relates to legislation,
yep.
Right? So based on the information that we received, we made legislative changes that prevented any city employee from benefiting from any privatization sale, period. So those changes were legislatively made. So I'm not sure what that information would have even, you know, that additional information, we were already addressing that issue.
Well, that was the kind of Well, again, we asked for the information. She gave the information. We then legislated to try to mitigate it happening in the future. And this information was public for everyone. All of this information is accessible. Literally, if you go onto the SIC website, it has every council member's name and the date they submitted their disclosure with their disclosure. So this information was out there and open and available. And if it were truly a germane question and a legitimate concern, I just felt it would have been closer in time to when the information was given and the disclosure produced. And so I don't want that to overshadow the work that we did to maintain municipal ownership of our utility company and our legislative purpose behind requesting that information. Ours was legislative, not investigative. Ours was legislative. How do we then say, council members, you can't have these kinds of relationships. These are potential conflicts. These are the things you have to disclose. These are the things that you want to talk. What does that look like? That's what we were doing. And we were very clear on our charge with all of that. And so, again, the council president has the authority as the council president to charge and appoint a committee. This committee, to me, I'm just uncertain where the authority comes from in our charter to authorize the investigation of another colleague outside of the limited basis of qualifications, or outside the limit, which is specifically articulated and stated in the charter. That's the issue with that. So should she have disclosed it? Absolutely. But should the question have come 2 years ago? Probably. Probably.
Yeah. So if she had disclosed at that time that she had had her husband, and y'all did ask for any relationships spouses had a series of meetings with a company that was proposing to privatize JEA, would that have been interest to yourself and to the committee in terms of relevant, or would that have been irrelevant, or y'all have acted on that?
Right. Well, David, I knew it already. I think that what I'm trying to say is the anonymous bidders were not necessarily anonymous to us as we were doing the work. So you had been able to kind of discern who was what, right? So, you know, I will joke and tell you, as a good lawyer, we ask very few questions we don't have some answers to, right? And so a part of that was, what are individuals going to share? What do we need to legislate to mitigate this going forward? Because remember, that relationship with her husband was before she was on the council, before we were on the council, right? So that information predates that. So, yes, she should have disclosed it, right? Ideally. But I don't know that there was anything additional we would have put in our recommendations for legislation other than what we put to articulate conflicts already. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so, that's where I was going to say that there was that information would not have given us any, I mean, we were already heading down the path of legislating to address that very concern. She wasn't the only one. I mean, not on the city council, but other people in our community, obviously, that were going to benefit from this privatization. Mm-hmm. And so we knew that, obviously, from a legislative perspective, we had to make changes so that would not happen in the future.
Well, there would need to be a formal complaint made to either the State Ethics Commission or the local Ethics Commission stating what the issue is, and they would evaluate it to see if it was substantial enough to come before the Ethics Commission for a vote on probable cause or no probable cause. I would feel, I don't know whether an investigation can or can't be done here. I just go back to my concern is the city council's credibility, I think, is at risk here, the way the committee's been put together. Two additional members were added who will help balance it out, I believe, but they were added later. So I just go back to the issue of if the Ethics Commission were calling this into question, I wouldn't be here today. Okay, but we're allowing, in my view, what we're seeing and observing. I just have to call it out. But for the mayor's race, would this committee have been called together? And I don't believe it would have been. And I think we have to be damn careful with what the city council does in terms of calling investigations, because our credibility as a body and as an institution is on the line. But this possibly could be something that would go before an ethics commission.
Right, I think let's.
Somebody has to send it out in an email for the public to even be.
Well, that's why it was done in this way, is because it's out in the public. Just as Councilman Carlucci said, it is part of the mayor's race. If it was an IG or an ethics complaint, no one would know about it. But that's not. So they don't really care, right? Do they really care? No. What they really care is about humiliating a council person and negatively impacting their run for mayor.
And I think my concern is more on just the whole process and the way this has come together. Should she have disclosed that information, unless there was some compelling reason that she could not because it was a part of some investigation? Mm-hmm. I wasn't on the committee. I don't know. But should she have? I would have. So... But there's other questions that we could ask in terms of what happened with the accountability of the $300,000 that the JEA passed over to the chamber. So but then you get going into politics again. And I think it's time for people to start talking about issues and what's ahead for the future of this city instead of this nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to ask you too, do you think that based on what we know now, which is that Hussein Cumber was meeting, interacting with consultants in a firm that was involved in putting in a bid for JEA, that Councilwoman Cumber should have disclosed that? And it wasn't a conflict of interest. We're simply saying disclose these interactions. It didn't have to be a conflict. It wasn't a conflict of interest. So you talked about it being transparent. Should she have just disclosed it, turned it into the committee, and said, yes, Hussein Cumber met with these consultants, this firm, on these dates? That's what y'all were asking for.
Yeah, and going back to what Councilman Carlucci said, I don't know what was going on in her world at the time that she executed that request. I know that Hussein Cumber began working with the FBI at some point in that same time period. So I don't know the answer to that. Certainly, you know, I'm sure you can ask her that question. But at the end of the day, in terms of our investigation, that information would have made no difference. That's the truth.
What her involvement was, and you know, that could influence the
Well, it doesn't have anything to do with our investigation.
Yeah, and so let me be clear. We wanted to say what our charge was. We fulfilled the charge and what the recommendations were that flowed from our work with SHB, and that we have complied with that, because I am very concerned that some view that as an extension of this work. This work concluded 2 years ago, and we are now in the implementation phase of anything else that we need to do relative to this work. Secondly, again, we as council members are bound by the charter, mini code for our actions and acts. We have always, to my knowledge, up until this point, worked within the confines of that. I don't know where the authority flows from for, again, an investigation of a colleague that's on the city council. And I want to be clear that that was not anything that flowed from a recommendation that came from this report. And that's very, very important. Our goal was to make certain that no one else in the future can put our municipal utility up for sale. And I believe we stopped that, and we've accomplished that with the relevant charter changes. And so I do want to afford council members Boylan and council member Danford an opportunity to share anything that they may have before we leave.
Thank you so much. I came here today because I wanted to hear what I thought I was going to hear. And the most difficult part of this for me was that after allegations were lodged against one of our colleagues, the two people that lodged the allegations were put in charge of the committee. That did not seem like that was the proper thing to do, and it did not seem that would produce a fair and impartial outcome. It seemed that all 19 of us are being used for something that we should not be a part of. Thank you.
Councilman Boyle.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for the time to come together and share. Today, this meant to be a listening session for me, and I do appreciate the concerns, Councilmember DeFore, you raised. I did meet with council this morning. It was one of the very questions I asked. Do we have the authority to do what we're doing? They assured me that it was appropriate, otherwise we wouldn't be heading down this road. I'm not comfortable about being part of this, but I think I share the optics that you just talked about with respect to who's leading it, and I thought it was important to have some balance to the committee, so I acquiesced to serve on it. I will assure you that tomorrow morning, the very first question I will ask is a reaffirmation about the appropriateness of our role in this process. And I look forward to that answer.
Thank you for that. I just want to state that I did reach out to our former general counsel, Jason Gabriel, who wrote a memo back in March of 14, 2018, who stated that it is not appropriate to go after an individual. I then asked Jason Teal if it was appropriate. He is here now, and he said that it was. So we have the dueling general counsel memos. I, as an attorney myself, cannot find any authority upon which, as Councilman Priestley Jackson stated, that one council, the council as a whole, can investigate another council member. So I wish you luck, my friend.
We thank you, and we thank everybody for coming out and giving us this opportunity to share. Thank you.
Thank you for calling the meeting.
Councilmember Jackson.
Thank you.
Just to have a photo, could I spread those two out and shoot a shot of the reports? Just on the table, having.
Yeah. Yeah, my secret magic writing, so long as you get the.